Hey, before we get started, gotta go ahead and pay the bills around here. Go ahead and do me a quick favor. I've got two books out. I know, you're probably thinking if this is the first time you've heard of me or the first time you've actually heard me in a while. My God, Remso can read? Yeah, I can read and write. And if you're my ninth grade English teacher, guess what? I can do it in freaking English too. Because unlike my name, all I know is English. Oh, blowing your mind and blow the minds of those around you with my two books, Stay Away from the Libertarians, as well as my newest novel, How to Succeed in Politics and Other Forms of Devil Worship. Those are, I gotta go for the shorter titles. Stay Away from the Libertarians and How to Succeed in Politics and Other Forms of Devil Worship. Available on my website, rwmartinez.com, as well as Amazon and Barnes & Noble online. Check them out. How to Succeed in Politics and Other Forms of Devil Worship and Stay Away from the Libertarians. Available. Well, you know how the internet works. You can go ahead and find it yourself. Pick them up today in print and digital and help support the show. And, Hey, I like making money. I'm not gonna say no. Everything comes back here. Help me out. Buy my books. That's all. That's about it. Move with the rhythm. Shake it up. Stop when the clock hits 13. You've been working, but you're flirting with the weekend. You can freak out. One in a million. You're a gem shine when the light grows dim. Sing 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 1. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it. Well, I showed up to work on Sunday yesterday because Sundays are basically my Monday. I work Sunday through Thursday. And I did not imagine that the big story I was going to help pump out over at the Washington Times was the death of Kobe Bryant. And I'm not making a joke out of this, but like first it was like three people, then it was like four people, then people were guessing as to who else was on there, and it was like nine people, and of those nine people, one of them was like his college basketball coach, and he had Major League Baseball Hall of Famer on there, and it's like, God, like who wasn't on the freaking helicopter with Kobe? I want to tell you I've got like some exclusive news about that, but what I really feel bad for right now, other than the the victims themselves and the families are the people that, produce the, make and manufacture the helicopter. Cause don't you know, they're going to feel like crap. They're the helicopter company that resulted in the death of Kobe Bryant. Like, damn, you're never going to live that down. It's like the DeLorean guy. Why is there an advertisement playing? I've got Windows up on my laptop because I'm about to go through some stories that I'm going to pay attention to this week and some stories that you should probably keep in mind. But like I'm saying, yeah, like, you know, the dude that made the DeLorean, the car that was in the Fast and Furious films, one of the reasons why they stopped it was because the guy who created it, who was a majority stockholder in the DeLorean Motor Company, he murdered, I think it was his wife and maybe another person. And because of stuff, business stuff, I don't understand. That tarnished that. While I'm ruining childhood memories for you, did you know the guy that created Earth Day was a communist who also murdered his wife? Yeah, that's why I don't celebrate Earth Day. I don't like a lot of holidays. I don't like Labor Day either. I work on Labor Day. I've worked on Labor Day for the past 5 years, actually, because it's a dumb holiday. But welcome back. This is the Remso Martinez Experience. We're getting back in the flow of things entering 2020. Because of the work I do over at the Washington Times, I've got to keep up to date with the stories that you're not often going to see on the cable news networks. And with issues such as shadow banning, messing up with algorithms on Facebook. Basically, let me be your drudge. Let me be your drudge. Because drudge has gone off the handle. I want to let you know that I did go to one source for a majority of these stories. If you haven't checked out the Bongino Report, it's bonginoreport.com, hosted and curated by Dan Bongino. Regardless of whether or not you love him or hate him, he's done a pretty good job. And when it comes to, my morning routine, I used to have a bunch of windows opened up to a bunch of different places I like. It is nice having it there. And I picked out these stories that we're going to talk about today, stuff that will affect you in the short term or long term. Let's get started. The story's from The Hill. Trump questions why NPR exists after Pompeo clashes with reporter. This is why, like, if you're a Republican and you remember when Democrats were, like, going after Big Bird, going after Mitt Romney because of Big Bird in 2012, this is poetic justice. This is getting light shown upon the one thing they love, because they've got, like, these little, like, these almost, like, near-religious icons, apart from all aspects of the federal government, Hollywood, and social justice virtues. NPR and PBS seem to be one of those things that liberals tend to think that humanity will collapse if we ever did without them. And I'm going to go ahead and read a quick excerpt from this. President Trump questioned why NPR exists following his Secretary of State's reportedly heated clash with one of the media organization's reporters. The president on Sunday retweeted conservative radio host Mark Levin's tweet that asked, "Why does NPR still exist?" "A very good question," Trump posted on Levin's tweet. Levin inquired about the publicly funded, privately owned national radio station, saying there are thousands of radio stations in the country and satellite radio. Why are we paying for this big government Democratic Party propaganda operation? This is beautiful. I remember when I was in high school, it was like right around the time Obama got elected, the president of NPR at the time was meeting with some Saudi donors, and he said NPR was the only thing keeping a good chunk of the majority population of the United States educated, and that anyone that didn't listen to NPR was typically white and or racist. I don't like NPR because it's boring. And I don't like it because, you know, our taxes have to go towards it, and I'm not, you know, it's like paying for cable. If you don't want to pay for cable, just cut the cord. You don't have to pay for it. We don't get to opt out of NPR. It's ridiculous. There's no reason why they can't just be privately funded. If liberals love it so much, these are the same liberals that were willing to donate organs and limbs to keep Ruth Bader Ginsburg alive. You'd think that they'd go ahead and just keep their, you know, church of public propaganda alive, but nah. NPR's Mary Louise Kelly reported Friday that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo lashed out at her for asking about Ukraine, saying, "Do you think Americans care about Ukraine?" while using the F word and asking her to point to Ukraine on a map. Pompeo then accused Kelly of lying to him, alleging that the post-interview conversation was off the record and that the interview was supposed to focus on Iran. Kelly says she confirmed with Pompeo's staff that Ukraine would also be on the docket. Yeah, that's neither here nor there. I mean, I wasn't in the room. Maybe he's lying. Maybe she's lying. I don't know. But the good question that came out of this was whether or not we should keep publicly subsidizing something that I know so very people actually use. And for the record, we all know those people. They're like CrossFitters, vegans, and people on keto, and atheists. If someone starts a conversation with, you know, "I listen to NPR," 9 times out of 10, I think they're probably bullshitting you. I really don't know anyone that does. I know a few people that actually do, but they're the exact type of people you'd think were on NPR. In fact, I was on NPR. I was interviewed at a baseball game, the congressional baseball game after the Arlington shooting where Steve Scalise got shot in 2017. I was interviewed with a few of my friends while we went to the congressional baseball game. And I remember, like, the most random person of all time, who I did not think would listen to NPR, called me and was like, "Oh my God, I just heard you on NPR." And I was like, "Ah, okay. Well, that's interesting." Yeah, moving on. This is from the New York Post. Bum, bum, bum. All the windows closing down. Okay. New York Post published over the weekend, cashless businesses are now banned in New York City. We've heard of the war on cash. This is almost like the opposite. And once again, it's coming from the most progressive city other than San Francisco in the United States. Let's talk about this from here. New York City's restaurants and other retail establishments will no longer be allowed to reject cash payments under legislation passed by the city council on Thursday. Supporters of the bill say cashless businesses requiring credit cards and electronic payments like Apple Pay discriminate against the poor people who may not have bank accounts or credit cards, as well as minors. One, I don't know anyone that doesn't have a credit card. And before you say homeless people, I work in D.C. every freaking day. I have to drive through the poorest part of D.C., Benning Road, and I still see homeless people with cell phones. So someone's paying that bill. Quote, the city of New York cannot allow the digital economy to leave behind 25% of New Yorkers who are chronically unbanked and underbanked, said Councilman Richie Torres of the Bronx, the bill's sponsor. The legislation, which was approved 43-3, also prohibits businesses from charging cash-paying customers a higher price than those using credit. How is this any of their problem? If a business doesn't want to take cash, that's their business. If you're a customer, you could probably go somewhere else. I can go on and, you know, give a whole free market economic screed, but I think we can all agree, if you don't want to do something with your private property or your business, you don't freaking have to. It's nobody's freaking business. But I digress. The bill also is backed by, this is going to be a surprise, Mayor Bill de Blasio, and is expected to become law in 9 months. It is expected to put a severe crimp in the operations of No Cash Chains, Dos Toros, and By Chloe. Violators face fines up to $1,000 for the first offense and up to $1,500 for additional violations. Similar bans already exist in other parts of the country, including Philadelphia and San Francisco. So Philadelphia does surprise me. San Francisco does not. So yeah, what's going to happen? The businesses are probably going to move. They're going to go down south to a cheaper state with better tax incentives, with people with an actual disposable income, and then those places are going to have to lay people off and fire them. Less jobs, more people desperate for work. The cycle of liberal progressivism continues to destroy the lives of regular working people. Not much more I could say about that. Okay, next one from Fox Business. Fox Business. Quibi CBO apologizes for comparing journalists to sexual predators. I actually didn't realize that. Oh my God. Quibi CBO says she's super sorry. Wow. Let's read this. Billionaire Quibi CBO Meg Whitman apologized Friday for remarks during a recent all-hands meeting in which she likened journalists to sexual predators. Whitman compared journalists who cultivate sources within companies to sexual predators who groom underage victims during a tense meeting last week with Quibi staffers, the information reported. The former Hewlett-Packard CEO and California gubernatorial candidate made the analogy while addressing the leaked memo that contained internal financial information about Quibi. Quote, I use an analogy that was inappropriate and just plain wrong, Whitman told Variety at the Sundance Film Festival, where Quibi was set to unveil its content lineup. None of us are ever perfect. I didn't intend it. And it's not at all how I think or how I feel. I don't know. It kind of sounds like she was sitting on that for a while, and it came out at a moment of comfort where she thought she was off the record. I mean, you know, if you were a Vice News reporter, you were probably a sexual predator because of all the Vice News staffers that got fired for being sexual predators in 2018 and 2019. You can go look at the Mike Cernovich Journo list, where basically it had a list cultivated by female reporters from various outlets who had the names and the publications of these sexual predators and where they worked, telling other female reporters in the business to stay away from them. So maybe Meg Whitman should have doubled down. I mean, where did Matt Lauer work? And he had like his office door like locked from the inside and outside, so that way he could trap people. And then he had Charlie Rose, who was, you know, groping and ass grabbing with young interns and other staffers. I mean, I wouldn't I wouldn't paint all journalists as that, all reporters as that, but, I mean, there's a precedent set by certain organizations. Maybe she should talk to Ronan Farrow. Maybe she should talk to him. I think she should double down. Whitman acknowledged to Variety that her comments were mostly accurately portrayed. Oh, gosh, she should stop talking, but she didn't. I've had a long, long history of journalists, and I completely respect what you all do and the important role that you play, she added, so I'm super sorry about it. Quibi did not immediately respond to her request for further comment. I'm sorry, this is just, oh, man, this is funny. This is funny. And the last story that we're going to talk about, and then I got to jump to work. Short episode, I promise there'll be. I'll wake up earlier and we can get these knocked out. This is from the Washington Times. Coronavirus may have originated in lab linked to China's biowarfare program. You know, Alex Jones is probably having a heyday. By Bill Gertz, reporter for the Washington Times, the deadly animal-borne coronavirus spreading globally may have originated in a laboratory in the city of Wuhan linked to China's covert biological weapons program, said an Israeli biological warfare analyst. Oh, man, this is how the zombie apocalypse freaking starts, man. Radio Free Asia last week rebroadcast a Wuhan television report from 2015 showing China's most advanced virus research laboratory, known as the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The laboratory is the only declared site in China capable of working on the virus. Wow. I don't know what to say. Like, are we surprised that China, one, tried to create this, and two, couldn't contain it? I'm not. I'm going to go ahead and post all the links to these stories in the show notes, but tweet out to me at HeyRemso on Twitter. Let me know what stories you want to do. I have fun doing this. They're short. You like it. We can go ahead and make this a regular thing. So go ahead and tweet at me at HeyRemso. Let me know what stories you want me to cover tomorrow, and I will talk to you later, I guess. Take care. Like we do it, like we do it. We got the rise.